Hi, I'm Hugh Sisson.
And I'm Al Spohler. Welcome to Cellar Notes. Hugh, when people go into a wine shop looking for something, there's a tendency to gravitate toward a familiar brand.
Right.
That's totally understandable. You and I know a lot more about wine than a lot of the people going in there, just by virtue of what we've done over the years. But for the person who doesn't have total security in their wine knowledge, what is the best way to go about finding something that you think they could rely on?
I think that's a really tough question these days because, you know, the quality of viticulture has gotten so much better over the last 20 years, and the quality of winemaking has gotten so much better. So it's been a long time since I've actually found, you know, what I would call a stinker of a bottle of wine. So the quality is so much higher all the way across the board. You know, I actually just sort of ruminate about what are the characteristics of a brand that are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to the original 1855 classification in Bordeaux, which I would arguably say are the first brands that were ever created in wine.
Good argument.
Yeah, I mean, that was all pretty much based on the region and the producer and the commercial history. But nowadays, if you buy Chateau de whatever the hell it is, it may be still the first growth Bordeaux, but it could be completely different vineyards with completely different fruit, but yet it's still got that cachet.
That's right.
Does it deserve it?
Boy, that's a good question.
And I don't know, but think about this when you're spending, you know, $100 for a bottle of Chateau de Wagga Wagga. So, you know, it's just a really interesting thing about it. In the U.S., with the early development of Napa and Sonoma, the brands were much more traditional. It was a name. It was not about the region. But as the California wine industry has become much more sophisticated, it is much more about the region and the terroir. And again, I would argue that the winemaking quality is going to be pretty uniformly high across the board. So I think it becomes more a question of not so much the brand, but understanding what you like. I like, for example, Russian River Pinot Noir and Russian River Chardonnay. Maybe I like it oaked, maybe I don't like it oaked. And I select a winemaker who's making stuff to the style, not necessarily the brand that I want to follow.
Yeah, I think what you're suggesting is that people should bring an open mind
right
with them and chat with your wine merchant, because these people know a lot about the things that are on their shelves.
Right. And another conundrum when you're dealing with branding is to use the Robert Mondavi property as a great example. You know, the Mondavi Napa produced wines were excellent. He created a brand around
that. He sure
did. But now there are all these other layers of Mondavi, you know, which are totally different California designations where this fruit's coming from anywhere. And, you know, I'm not being positive, I just question how valid is the brand from a qualitative standpoint once you get into these lower designations. I mean, just food for thought.
Does it get diluted?
I tend to think that right now, if you're going to be looking at branding and you want to follow a name per se, the most valid way to approach this these days is for négociants or for wine pickers, if you will. You know, Haas, for example, for so many years, or Franck's Signature Selections, or Cameron Hughes, who's
yeah.
So if you're looking for – if you find a selector or a négociant that you think is doing good work, there's probably some validity to following that as a brand. Beyond that, as far as I'm concerned, just know what you're buying.
And Hugh, just a quick reminder, I'm going to be leading a tour of Spain and Portugal this October. We have information on the website. Go to the Cellar Notes page on the WYPR website and click on the Vineyards and Victories Tour. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm Al Spohler.
And I'm Hugh Sisson. You've been listening to Cellar Notes, produced by Bob White for 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.